Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. The Son of David. We're looking today at Christ being born of David. We're doing a series during these Wednesday services on different aspects of his birth. Last week we looked at Christ being born of a virgin in accordance with Isaiah chapter 7. And today we're going to look at him being born of David. And what's that mean for him and what's that mean for us? Do we have any good news you think God would give us out of that verse of Scripture today? Well, let's take a look, first of all, and establish that Christ is indeed born of David. We can open up to our gospel reading there in Matthew chapter 1. We read this. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man, and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She'll bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So according to that verse, is Jesus the son of David? Joseph was the son of David. Jesus is in Joseph's house, right? Although Joseph wasn't the physical father of Jesus, Jesus is born in the line of David. And this was written by Matthew in order to prove to us that Jesus is a son of David. For we have Joseph's genealogy here. And it begins like this. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So, what does that tell us about Jesus? According to his father, he is the son of David. Also, according to his mother, if you were to open up into Luke chapter 1, here we read of Mary's genealogy, I believe, as I read it. And also, as Mary is of the house of David as well, I believe, the angel said to her, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father, David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. So, Jesus is the Son of David according to Joseph, his father. He's the Son of David according to Mary, his mother. He's also the Son of David according to what Paul says here in Romans chapter 1. He says Paul was set apart for the gospel which God promised beforehand through his prophets in the scriptures, the gospel concerning his son who was descended from David according to the flesh and designated son of God in power according to the spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. And so why has the scripture worked so hard to teach us that Jesus is the son of David? Because if you're a Jew, you know that the Messiah was to be the son of David. He was to be born in David's line. He was to be born in the town of David, Bethlehem. And he was to be set up on David's throne, which was promised there in ancient times. In fact, we can see this in our Old Testament reading for today, 1 Chronicles 17. Remember, David has this idea. He's been taken from shepherding Israel, and then shepherding sheep. God sets him up as prince of his people. Remember, he slew Goliath, and God makes him king, and he reigns. And then David is there in his palace, and he looks around, and he says, what am I doing? I'm dwelling in a house, a palace of cedar, and the Ark of the Covenant, where God is living, is in a tent. And so what does David decide to do? He says, I want to build a house for the Lord. Nathan says, do everything that's in your heart. God's with you. But then God spoke to Nathan that night, and we read these words in 1 Chronicles 17. God doesn't let David build a house for him, does he? Solomon's going to do that. David gets to gather the materials. But God says to him, when I traveled through all those places of Israel with you, through the wilderness, and then in the times of the judges, did I ever ask for a house? No. He says, but guess what? Well, God doesn't say guess what, but he would say, guess what, David? He says, I'm going to build you a house. You think you're going to build me a house? I'm going to build you a house. And hear the prophecy. I declare to you that the Lord will build you a house. When your days are fulfilled, to go to be with your fathers. In other words, when you die, I'll raise up your offspring after you. One of your own sons. One of his own descendants, right? And I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for me, and I'll establish his throne forever. Now, who could that be talking about? Could be talking about Solomon in a sense, because he's the son of David, and he built the temple of the Lord, right? However, we read on, and I will be his father, and he shall be my son. So God says, that could somewhat be said of Solomon, but of course we know who this is really speaking about. We read, I will not take my steadfast love from him, as I took it from him who was before you, you know, from King Saul. But I will confirm him in my house and in my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established forever. Does that match Solomon? No, who does that match? Jesus Christ, born of David, in the line of David, descended in by David, by the blood of that's passed on, as well as according to this promise. And Jesus' throne will be established forever. How might you compare? Why is Jesus the son of David? How do we compare Jesus and David? Well, they both came from a humble town, Bethlehem. They were both born there. From humble background, God took them and made them prince over the people. David was prince over Israel. Jesus is prince over the greater Israel, right? Jews and Gentiles. David was made king. Jesus is king. David's kingdom was for a while. I mean, he ruled for a while and he died. Jesus is forever. David was a man after God's heart. Jesus is a man after God's heart. David sinned. Jesus never sinned. And so Jesus is the greater son of David, the greater David, such that when the Pharisees were talking about him being the son of David, Jesus even directs their attention away from that. How can he be the son of David when David calls him Lord and my Lord? In other words, Jesus is greater than David. He's above him. And David called Jesus Lord. But all this took place to fulfill the words of Scripture that God would build a house. God would send a descendant of David to be the Messiah, to be the king, and he's our king. Amen? Absolutely. He's all these great things for us. So what does that mean, though, for us? What does it mean that Jesus is the son of David? Well, consider the world we're living in. I was just looking at the news this morning, and I decided to print it out, not to depress you. But whenever we look at the news, it's kind of depressing, isn't it? We look at the world that we're living in. It says chaos in the CIA. That's the headline on the Drudge Report. 10 dead in a suspected bombing. Superstorm about to hit California. Rise and a fall of America's worst gay couple. Oh, yeah, bunga. You get all these things in the news. And it seems like the world is topsy-turvy, doesn't it? Do you feel sometimes like I was doing my wash the other day at home, and you put the clothes in there, And the clothes just get thrown this way and that, all for about a half an hour or so. Do you feel like you're in a washing machine sometimes? And the world is unpredictable, and you don't know how your life's going to go, how your health is going to go. The morality of the world is shifting and changing. Nations are tottering this way and that. And then you go in the dryer, right? And you get tumbled around this way and that, and tumbled, and it's hot, and things are crazy. You ever feel like the world is like a runaway train or a roller coaster that's just nobody is there to stop it? Well, the good news is that Jesus is the son of David. You know what that means? That there is a king over this world. He's ruling. He's already come. He was born of Mary, and he is at the right hand of God ruling over everything. How does that change your perspective compared to a person who doesn't know the Lord, who's not saved, who isn't saved in Jesus Christ? They're in a washing machine, turned this way and that, topsy-turvy, tumble dry. In fact, it was funny when I was, just as an aside, when I was doing my wash the other day, I always set mine on oversize, which I think should just be called man, because women always use mini and medium and large. Oversize just means you're too dumb to know how much should really fit into this thing. We'll just call that oversize. So it should just be men, because men don't want to do more than one load of laundry if you do laundry. You know, I occasionally throw one in there. But that's an aside. Let's not get off track here. How does Jesus being the son of David help us? Well, it means that he is the king and his throne is established forever. And let's talk about some of the things that Jesus being king blesses us with in our lives. Number one, it gives us a calm confidence, no matter what's going on in the world, that he's ruling over everything. Do you believe that? You know, the world teaches us that we should just be thinking everything is up for grabs. The weather's up for grabs. Storms are just randomly thrown around the world by random chance of nature. Nations rise and fall. Kings and presidents rule at their own discretion. Your own health and your lives and everything that goes along in your life is just, you're in a big game of just, you know, like a big slot machine. And nothing is in order. It's all in chaos. So it's survival of the fittest. Whoever can conquer the best wins, right? How does that make you feel? Anxious, depressed, oppressed, all these things. But the good news is that Jesus is even exalted to the right hand of God. That's where he's sitting right now. He is the Son of David. He's a man after God's own heart. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to him, and he rules over the world. Our God, our King, is in charge. Doesn't that make you feel good? Think about, for example, the weather. Is the weather just random? Is it just thrown? Are we deists here? We believe God set it up as a clock and then he just lets it go? No. I mean, the Bible says, God commands the stormy wind of the sea, it lifteth up the waves thereof, Psalm 107. He commands it again and they be silent and they calm down. What did Jesus do when he came? There's a great storm at sea. And the waves are lifting up and they feel they're perishing. And Jesus says, what are you worried about? Watch this. He didn't say that, but he would say, watch this. Guess what? I can do this. And he says, peace, be still. And there's a great calm. You know, do you believe, are you afraid of the weather? Jesus, our King, is in charge of it. How about, are you afraid of how nature goes and that, you know, he watches over all these things? Listen to what it says in the Psalms about nature. Are all these things just happening by random chance? Psalm 147, verse 8 says, he covers the heavens with clouds. This is what God does. He prepares rain for the earth. He makes grass grow upon the hills. He gives the beasts their food and to the young ravens, which cry. And so God feeds all the animals. He watches over the earth. He cares for it. Does that help you? You know that the Son of David is at the right hand of God ruling? There's a pastor once who wrote a very famous hymn called This Is My Father's World. And he was very, very sad. He's feeling like everything was wrong and everything's bad. But then he walked in nature one day and he said, you know, this is my father's world. Let me never forget. You know, all these things are his. And God is ruling. And that is a beautiful word that the Son of David is there. He's ruling in righteousness. He's a man after God's own heart. Look at how he upholds his kingdom in Isaiah chapter 9. You know this verse. You could probably say it with me. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. Where am I here? Upon the throne of David, it says, and over his kingdom to establish it, to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Do you know that Jesus is right now? Where is he? Right now, he's ruling in justice and in righteousness over all this blue globe upon which we live. Why is it not all in perfect peace? Because man's still in rebellion. Not every enemy is yet subject to him, but he is exalted to the right hand of God, and he's ruling on behalf of his church. Does that give you a calm confidence today? You're not in a washing machine, friends. Although, even if it is a washing machine, he's got the dials, okay? He knows what's going on. We can also have a Thanksgiving, because guess what the angel said of this king? It's good news of great joy. To you is born this day in the city of David, on the throne of David, right? A Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Do you know that God loves you? Jesus, his Son, the Prince of Peace, at the right hand of God, loves you. Let that into your heart, that he has cared for you so much that God so loved the world. He gave his only Son. He died on the cross for us and rose again, that whoever believes in him might not perish, but have eternal life. And eternal life is already inside of us. That's the king's gift to you. The great royal king on the royal throne in heaven, exalted above everything, has given you the gift of eternal life in his son. He rules over everything at your discretion. How about the kingdoms of the world? Are these in his command as well? Paul says in Acts chapter 17 that God determines their allotted times and the boundaries of their habitations. We read in the Psalms that God sets up kings and takes down kings. Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon used to think, I'm the king. I'm number one. I did all this myself. And then God makes him go crazy for a time until he learns to say that the Most High rules over the kingdoms of men and gives them to whom he will. I don't even want to say, but I'll say, Obama, right? A lot of you people out there, I know, are a little concerned about what's going on in our country. I can see by a few nods or shakes of the head there. Guess what? God's ruling over all these things. The Son of David is at the right hand of God. Whether we agree or disagree with what's going on in the upper echelons of society, there is a place in a court higher than all these things, and God is ruling on behalf of his people. And he protects us. He loves us. He's working all things ultimately according to the plan of his will, and ultimately everything's going to be united in Christ. And guess what? His is a coming kingdom. Jesus came as the king. He died for us, rose again. He's at the right hand of God, and he's coming again. And he's going to bring a kingdom where everything is all of a sudden finally set right in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. At the sound of the archangel's call, Jesus will come with all his saints. We'll be caught up to meet him in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. And there's a wonderful verse there in Revelation. Actually, I think I wrote it in here. Revelation 11 says, the day is coming, basically. The seventh angel blew his trumpet. There were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and they shall reign on earth. We read in Daniel that the saints of the Most High shall possess the kingdom forever and forever and ever. And so God's got a wonderful plan for us ahead because Jesus, the Son of David, is ruling. And he's going to increase his government and have peace with no end in the kingdom to come. So one more thing is, who is the kingdom of God? You know, the kingdom is God's rule. It's coming to the world. The meek shall inherit the earth. But guess what? You're God's kingdom. And you are a kingdom of priests. It says, to him who was and is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, the ruler of kings on earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priest to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever. Jesus has made you a priest and a king because he is king and you're going to rule with him. He who conquers shall sit with me on my throne, as I myself conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. Is that a great message of Christmas or what? You know, we are going to remain a little bit topsy-turvy, thrown this way and that, tumble dry load, maybe even oversized. You know, we're going to go through it a bit in this life, Jesus says, but don't be afraid. The Son of David has conquered. The root of David has conquered. He's the bright morning star, and he rules on our behalf. He loves you. He's going to protect you. He's going to take care of you. He's going to lead you through this life. And he says, until that day, go out and love one another as I have loved you. For when the king comes on his glorious throne, he'll say, as you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. Come, O blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Thank you, God. Thank you, our Father in heaven, for your faithfulness in sending Jesus, born of David, descended from him according to the flesh, but Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead. In Jesus' name, amen.